Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Lauren, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to share the story.
Yeah, I can't wait to dive into your story. But first, how did you find Organize 365?
Yeah, I was binge watching organizing videos on YouTube. And I think I was watching a clip by The Minimal Mom. And she mentioned this thing about a Sunday basket. And I was frantically looking for help to try and get, you know, some level of order in our home. And so I was like, Sunday basket, what is that? So I Googled it and the whole Organize 365 website popped up and I started reading about the productive home solution. I was like, oh, maybe this is it. So yeah. And that was right between Christmas and New Year's of this year.
Of 2021 into 2022?
Yes. So,
oh, wow. You're a speedy learner.
Yeah. I've only known about you for about, 5 months now? 4 months?
Wow.
Yeah.
So you were like ready for this information.
Yes. It was I called it a golden window convergence of a lot of things happening, plus a lot of catalysts driving me forward, things we needed to do and have done. And so, yeah, it was okay, so ready.
Tell us to the people who live in your family with you, and then tell us about this golden window/tornado you had going on.
Yes. That's a good way to describe it. I live in Seattle with my husband, John. We've been married 18 years. We have 4 kids. Titus is 12. Sparrow is going to be 10. Iris is going to be 8. And Ralph, who is in just about every photo, will be 6. So Sparrow, my 10-year-old, has a genetic disorder called DDX3X. It was just discovered in 2015. So for the first few years, we didn't even know what was going on. But her disorder caused changes to over 60% of her brain.
Wow.
So it affects things globally. So her vision, speech, she's nonverbal. She's in a wheelchair. She's going to need help the rest of her life. It, you know, affects cognitive function, everything. So just on a daily basis, that's what we deal with.
Yeah.
But the last 2 years in particular really have felt like an emergency state for us. Just going from emergency to emergency. Mm. I had to kind of write it down. I'll just give you a couple bullet points of what was coming at us. So aside from going through COVID with a medically fragile kid, that was challenging. John switched jobs twice, once at the beginning and end of the pandemic. He also very suddenly became responsible for his uncle's estate, which had some fraud issues. So we still haven't been able to resolve that. Sparrow had her special ed teacher removed 2 different times. So in November of 2021 and November of 2020, they just picked up her teacher and moved. And we had to transition twice from the school district. We had a sub for 6 months. Sparrow has had some regression. She's lost 15 degrees of motion in her leg or extension in her left leg. And she's got some increased curvature of her spine just from not getting the PT and OT. And so we're trying to mitigate the consequences that we're seeing from school at home, not having the equipment we need. And we've managed to course correct, but she definitely has experienced some really hard physical things. Let's see. I was taking her into PT sessions pretty much every week for 2 bursts. And then, of course, we all got rolling COVID in September of October, but who didn't? So by the time we hit kind of November of 2021, I was like, life is coming at us like a fire hose. We can't survive in survival mode permanently. And how do we get out of it? Where is the door? Where's the exit door? And so I tried to solve chaos with construction. I built my husband this office, actually. I don't know if you can see it, but it's a little 9x11 shed that used to be a storage shed. And so I thought, I'm going to get him out of the basement and it'll make him happy, which will make everything better. And it did. I did it between November and December. We actually let him in on Christmas and it was a big surprise. Uh-huh. I was hoping that would solve a lot more than it did. It solved a lot of problems and for him in particular, but I was still drowning in the house. Very much. And so enter binge watching YouTube clips on organization. The house was a mess. I think we were probably living in maybe 40% of our spaces. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the spaces were just junk collection. It was really bad. Everything was just kind of getting pushed to the edges. So our functional everyday rooms were moderately okay, but it wasn't working. Everything was taking forever. We were looking for a lot of stuff, tripping over things. And when you have a wheelchair navigating through the house, you have to have a clear path. It's not optional. So I started learning about 365, the actual productive home solution. And I brought it to John and I was like, this sounds really great. I don't know if you know, I was a little worried about him swallowing the price. And I was sitting there trying to explain it. And he was reading about it for maybe 5 minutes. And he was like, boop, it's ordered.
Yay.
I was like, what? Do you know how much work you just signed me up for? And I didn't even know at the time how much work I had just signed up for, but
you went back to college, baby.
Yeah, kind of. And I am not an organized person. I can say that definitively. I tend to be more of an artistic brain and I leave a trail of mess, creative mess behind me. That's the natural state. And I've learned, and every bit of order there is in my house is all a learned skill. It's all learned. No natural gifting in that area. I mean, I can kind of think through and order things, but you know, it's tough. So yeah, I just jumped right in both feet. And I actually got my mom hooked on the podcast. My mom's on the app sometimes. She actually just ordered her Friday work box as well. But early February, she said, let's get Sunday boxes. I'm just going to order you one. And I was, churning through the 100 days.
I love your family. They're all like Lauren. They're like, yes, let's get Lauren more things to do.
I had so many shoves over the cliff, so to speak. It was kind of providence. Like a lot of people knew I needed help. And so they're like, this is your help out of the nest, young chick. Yes. So yeah, the Sunday basket came and I was like, I don't know if I could do both of these. And then as we started doing paper, I realized I need a receptacle. Like even if I haven't got the full system going, I need this to be at least a little bit set up. I actually started in my bedroom before the planner and everything arrived. I started really, really off the program. I just started chucking stuff in my bedroom. It actually helped quite a bit. It gave me a little bit of a head start and then went through the kitchen. That was really helpful. That was the one area I kind of followed the program really concisely. It's more specific in the kitchen so that you learn as you go. The kitchen is more standard than any other room. It made a lot more sense. And then after I got through the kitchen and the bedroom, I realized, wow, this 100-day list doesn't quite match my house. How do I make this work? Am I just like supposed to be stuck in these individual tasks, like exactly on the day? And, you know, and so I ended up writing myself just kind of a general areas list.
Yes.
And there were days where I was doing organization where I didn't mark anything off of the 100 days checklist, but I got through an area of my home that is specific to our weird house. And yeah, it was really helpful. I just made sure that I went through all of the 100 days as well as all of my areas. Mm-hmm. There are a few areas that didn't get culled through quite as much as I would like, but that's the comfort of having multiple rounds, right? You know, you're going to be back there, even if you can't reach something or get to something. You're gonna go back around. And I think one of the biggest things that helped me plow through the 100 days was that I didn't do anything from Saturday afternoon until Sunday afternoon. Like every week, there was a day where I did nothing. And it gave my brain a chance to kind of think through what I was doing. And by the time that Sunday afternoon came around, I was like, okay, here we go. We're going to work on this. And, you know, it sort of gave me a chance to recuperate and then think and then, you know, kind of launch into the next task.
So I have like so many questions.
Okay.
So how much time were you spending on organizing a day in a week? Do you know?
So most of my organizing had to fit between when I got my daughter Sparrow on the bus at 8:30 mm-hmm. and when I had to start getting my son ready for his half day kindergarten at 11:30. That was my power window. And then I would sometimes have a small chunk of time in the afternoon, like from maybe from 1 to 2:45, usually a little less, depending on how driven I was to get a project done. And then I called it hot mess Saturdays. I would just take my big, ugly projects and I would put them in the Saturday time slot and I would get up early. The kids would watch cartoons. John would sleep in and join them eventually and help with breakfast. And I would just lock myself in the worst spaces. If you're on the app, you could go back and look at some of the workshops and the storage room downstairs. We have so many storage areas in our house. There's a lot of unfinished space and so many of them had just collected things. That's the downside of having a lot of storage space is that you can keep everything. And we did. And it got so bad, particularly our junk heap. We ended up having to do a dump run at the end. And I think it was over 1,800 pounds.
Don't you feel so much lighter now? It was.
That day was a good day. When all the garbage left, it was a good day. And we donated way more than that. I think it was 5 or 6 of our big van. We have a big box truck, Dodge ProMaster, that we took to the Goodwill for 5 or 6 times, I think it was.
Wow. So how long would you work on Saturday morning?
I would only do it in the morning. Like I said, I stop at 2 o'clock is my hard stop.
Yeah, but how early did you start?
It depends. Most of the time it was like a 6 a.m.
I knew start. It. That's 8 hours. So you were spending anywhere between 10 and 15 hours Monday through Friday and another 6 hours on Saturday. And I ask you about the time because you are me. Like, this is how I do a project. Because you just said you're literally in a shed that you like probably created from scratch. You're a project person. I am a project person. I don't sit idly ever. Like, never. If we're watching TV, I'm doing a puzzle. Like, I'm sorting bills. I'm always folding laundry. I'm always doing something. So you and I have high energy.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's not fair for some people who are like, I thought this could be done in 15 minutes a day. Yeah, it can. Lauren and I are weird. we literally do like 8 rounds of the 100-day program in 1 round, but that's okay. You can do this however you want. So I just wanted to point out that like you literally, you made this your full-time job.
Yes. And well, there were a lot of other things going on. We had a lot of days where I couldn't get to things. I was doing one of those physical therapy bursts for my daughter, where I was taking her into Children's at least one day a week. So there was a lot of little things that ate into the time, but yeah, we needed it. We were drowning in our stuff. And I had just gone from school at home last year to having this sort of crazy emergency state. I was dealing with a school district. We actually had to have legal intervention to get them to send a bus to our house.
Yeah.
So the whole beginning of the year was my part-time job was just getting Sparrow's educational set up functional. And then once the new year hit and I could do that office project, that became my job. And then when that was done, the whole world opened up and I was like, Ralph is going to be at school for the afternoon and I can do things again. And that was my one of my golden windows. The other one was I'm 40. So,
okay. Yay. All right. That'll give you a burst of energy right there.
Yes. And I very much, the winter when I can't do things out in the yard, you know, there's a lot of in-home energy that kind of just works its way out.
And Ralph is turning 6. So he's 5. Yes. Which that is another golden window. Yes. I mean, like, yes, there were so many things that were lined up. Mm-hmm. So were you listening to the podcast at all or no?
Yes, I would listen to podcasts while I cleaned organized and churned through things. Although I missed the part where nobody gets through the 100 days. I
didn't think, obviously.
I thought it was a perfectly normal expectation to get through the 100 days your first time. And it wasn't until probably about day 80, like that I was listening to a podcast and it finally clicked. Somebody had said, nobody gets through the 100 days the first time. And I was like,
I do.
What? Well, too late. I'm going to do it. And I had actually got to sit in on planning day, which was great. And I didn't realize this at the time, but in my goals, I wrote finish 100 days before the end of March.
Unbelievable.
Right there. And I did not know what I was signing up for when I wrote that.
That's okay. You don't have to know.
So yeah, I will say I put in a lot of work because right now this is my part-time job or, you know, part-time job.
So what were you hoping that you would get out of this? And then what did you actually get out of it?
Yeah, I was hoping at first I was thinking I was going to try and cull things down to the point of minimalism because that's one thing I was interested in. And I'm not quite that way. You know, I did get a few things down, not quite to that level. Yeah, I was just hoping for a little bit of ease. I was not expecting the cleaning routine to go down quite as much. I wasn't expecting the to-do list to get traded out for this Sunday basket to-do mechanism rather than just a list. What was happening with me is that a lot of the to-dos, ideas, thoughts were remaining in the realm of ideas and in the ether, and there was no way to capture them. Yeah. They were just foggily floating above my head. And so it wasn't as much of a paper issue with me. The Sunday basket was more about actually giving yourself almost like a bicycle to run errands, you know, like,
yeah,
you can do things if you walk, but a bike will get you a lot further, a lot faster. And that's kind of what the Sunday basket is for me, because it kind of mechanizes, so to speak, the productivity and allows me to capture things that were just sort of falling by the wayside. Mm-hmm. And if they fall by the wayside now, it's an intentional edit. It's not, oh, I just forgot. That has been great. I actually did not expect to have a little bit more patience for my kid. I didn't realize how much the mess was affecting my just sort of demeanor, energy, to the point where I would get frustrated with the kids and go clean that up. Oh, you know, and then, you know, have to talk through, I'm sorry, mommy will speak more clearly to you. You know, and being able to realize and have kind of space to speak more kindly and be more aware of what they need and more in tune to what they need. With Sparrow, I always have to kind of just have telepathy, so to speak, and just kind of anticipate what she needs. And so I find that part of me gets very fatigued. And so I feel bad. I have to use that skill so much with Sparrow that sometimes it's hard to extend it to all the kids, especially now that Titus is older and he's more self-reliant. Well, for 12, he's self-reliant. But he's a very good older child. He's very responsible, stable kid. So, but, you know, making sure that my care extends equally to everybody. And that I didn't expect. Kind of all of my ships in the harbor rose with the tide. Everything got a little simpler. I could think a little better. My office has stayed clean. That never happens. I still don't know how that's happening quite.
It's magic.
It's magic. It's magic. I pulled out my Tupperware drawer the other day when my mom was here, and I'm like, look, everything's still in order. I did the Tupperware toss where you just buy a new set. And it,
yes. Game changer, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
$32 game changer. You don't realize how much time you're spending rummaging in the Tupperware drawer.
I think you don't. Like, you're so worried about spending $5 here and $10 there.
Yeah.
You don't realize how many literal hours you're giving away to that. And frustration.
Mm-hmm.
Total frustration.
Yeah. Unexpected thing. I think with paper, the hardest part of the whole 100 days for me was when I went through the office. And a lot of that was because I started the Sunday Basket kind of at the same time. I didn't have my head around the inner workings of it and how to get it to work for me.
Yeah.
So I was a little frustrated and I was trying to convert a to-do list. I think there's a picture in the 365 community feed where I just have crumpled paper all over my desk. But another reason why that room was so hard is that there was a lot of grief wrapped up in my papers mm-hmm. and the things in the office. My little brother passed away in 2017 and I had two bags of things from his apartment that I had taken. And they were sitting at the foot of my office, like where my feet should go. And I kept on going through them and looking at the things and then putting them right back where they were. And I think going through a lot of the papers and the items brings up grief. And it can actually be a good healing thing to go through those things and to also let yourself not go through them when it's not time. I ended up taking a big clear plastic bin and keeping all of it. Like, I wasn't in a place where I could get rid of anything. So I have it now. It's stored in a clean, safe storage area. I didn't want to bring my brother's stuff down there before because I felt like, what if, you know, it gets lost or rodents get into it or something. Yuck. You know, I don't want his stuff down there, but the office is really a very practical place where you have to churn through things and it wasn't the appropriate space. And so I have that box there. I can go through it, you know, on his birthdays or, you know, and that's okay. It's okay to have stuff that grieves you. And with paper in particular, and Sparrow, I find a lot of paper that in black and white tells me how hard things are. I came across a particular piece of paper that it was our introductory interview into the school district. And I remember going into that review and then coming out with that paper and looking down at that paper and seeing every box marked bottom 2%, bottom 2%, bottom 2%. Cognitive functionality. And it's really hard when a paper gets to boss your kid and say you're in the bottom two. And oh man, it's hard excavating that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard, but it's good. And you have to, you kind of have to face it. It doesn't do you any good to sit there and be in the back of your head because it's still, you know, it's still doing things there. So if anybody's out there and has paper they just don't want to face, you might actually get more than you think you will out of organizing. It may not just be organizing. You may get a little sense of walking through whatever grief process it is. And so that was really helpful and unexpected. So somewhere right around the beginning of March, we were about ready to have our IEP.
Mm-hmm.
And for anybody that doesn't know about an IEP, it's basically building an educational plan for an individual kid from scratch. And there are usually a number of services, therapeutic or otherwise, that plug into it. So we have an IEP meeting. We usually have 12 people that we have to, 12 plus people that we have to meet with. It's pretty complicated. It's a long meeting. You have to prepare for it. You have to ask for big things sometimes.
Yeah.
Our previous IEP meeting happened just at the end of our substitute being there. And so our new teacher had only been in the city for like 10 days, not even working for 10 days, just And so our last IEP was stitched together. It was a Franken IEP, man. It was stitched together. And I didn't want that to happen this time. We actually stalled out in the previous one where we couldn't think of an appropriate goal. And we had to do two meetings. It was extremely frustrating and time consuming. And so this one, I was like, I got to get ready for it. You know, I'm doing all this cleaning and organizing and decluttering. Yeah. And I need to pause. And so I actually took, I think, almost a week and a half. And I knew I probably would need some time, but I didn't know what mechanism I needed for getting things ready. And then I remember somebody mentioning the Mama Warrior binder on one of the podcasts. So I went to the community and I said, hey, so I thought I could just use the medical binder for this, but what is the Mama binder and how does it differ? I've got an IEP in like 9 or 10 days. What do I do? I'm in triage mode. So, and yeah, several of the individuals on the community chimed in and let me know how they had used it and kind of what the difference was. Monique kind of gave me a general rundown. And so I deliberated for a few days. I was like, I don't know. Is this what I need? I deliberated too long. And finally I took it to John. I was like, should I get this? And he's like, I don't know. And then I literally walked out and it was on my doorstep. Someone had ordered the Mama binder for me. And
yay.
Rescued me out of my own deliberation and threw me a total lifeline. And I was like, what? I was just talking to John about getting one of these. Here it magically is. Yeah. Someone graciously gifted me a Mama Warrior binder at a time when I couldn't make the decision. I was too overloaded with all of, you know, I just started Sunday Basket, 100 days, IEP, you know, there was too much going on. And I couldn't make the decision to click the button myself. I just couldn't. I think eventually John would have. He makes decisions kind of like he's driving a sports car. Like, I just know I have to buckle up and hang on. So I know that about him. But someone intervened and knew, I don't know who it was to this day, but thank you, whoever you are, because it gave me just enough time to kind of start to go through things. You have two sheets in there that are worksheets that ended up being the bulk of my prep. And one of them is like a care sheet, like list all your caregivers. And I actually took that and I made it into a spreadsheet with email contacts, phone numbers, all of our care providers, past and present. I think there are one or two people I still need to get on that sheet, but that was basically done. The other massive undertaking was to create a chronology for Sparrow.
Yes.
The worksheet you have was a good start for me, but I kept on forgetting her seizure dates and how to spell her medication and all these little details they just expect you to know. I kept on losing them. And I was just too tired to keep it in my brain. Mm-hmm. And it was 10 years worth of medical info. So I just kind of hit a bulging point and really, I just went through all of the medical records that I had for her. I had this huge PAC3 ring binder that had everything kind of from 2012 to 2016. And I stopped in 2016 because her diagnosis came in and all the information just exponentially.
Yeah.
So all the basic stuff, I just entered into a very simple spreadsheet where I took one simple line and described what happened, the significant findings or results of the appointment. And do you know one amazing discovery? I actually went through the notes from the genetic counselor. Apparently, she has a variation in her gene that prevents her from absorbing certain medications. And I had missed it. In all of the craziness of trying to find a diagnosis for what Sparrow had, this one little side note had escaped my attention. And when I did that chronology, I found it again. And it's, you know, it's pretty serious and a very long list of medications. And if she had been given one of those and I hadn't remembered that piece of information, it could have been really detrimental, but I was able to catch it. And
yeah,
that was kind of my biggest, like, oh, I really need to be Sparrow's expert in as much detail as possible. And this chronology has acted like a cliff notes. We just had an orthotic appointment. I took it to there, referenced a few things. It helped me through our neurology appointment. Yeah, it really has been super helpful and just super encouraging to have somebody know enough about the situation without knowing the situation to come alongside me and order it for me. That meant a lot. And I think the community, the 365 app is a huge asset to all of these programs. As I was finishing up the 100 days, I was like, okay, how do I move forward? What do I do from here? And I hit another one of those, my brain is too tired to make decisions. So I used the app as a think tank. And I was like, what do you all think about this? And I got a dozen great opinions looking at things from different facets. Yeah, don't hesitate to use the Organize 365 app because it really is helpful. It's encouraging, but also when you don't have a brain, you can borrow somebody else's.
It's like your classroom, like you're doing your course, but this is like, you're asking like, hey, there was a pop quiz and I didn't really know what was on that, or I don't know what I'm going to do next. Like, yeah, they are really helpful. Like everybody is so excited about their own transformation and seeing other people's transformation. Yeah.
And you never know what level of expertise somebody has for random things. Like, well, like you with the photo, you know, photo organization, but then other people are really good at this particular type of crafting, and you never know what kind of resources everybody has collectively. So,
yeah. What have your kids or your husband said since you have started on these programs?
Yeah, John is very thankful. He needs order. He needs things to be simple, which was one of the main reasons we had to get him out of the house.
Yeah,
he had to leave before we could go through the mayhem of the hot mess rooms and everything and pulling everything out. And so he tolerated the messy middle pretty well. And he definitely saw on the days when I was like, I've overdone it. It's like, just go to bed. So he's very thankful. He definitely doesn't concentrate well in a cluttered environment. And his jobs are very, very technical and require a high level of expertise. I mean, you wouldn't know it to walk into a room, but he's a really smart guy. And he's usually the smartest guy in the room, but he doesn't come off, he doesn't come off like that. But I know he is. So the kids, Titus was pretty relieved. The kids' rooms haven't held quite as well. They just get used. And there are Legos. So many Legos. But Titus is really relieved. He's a bookworm. And so he loves to sit in his room in his chair, just kind of snuggle up with books. Iris is, man, that girl learns alongside you really well. Out of all the kids, she decluttered like a champion. She's like, I don't need that. I don't need that. It was, Mom, I'm going to give this away. It was really cute. She's only 7 going on 8, but she really has this sort of like little tiny adult lady thing. Ralph really went to town. Ralph went through most of these spaces with me alongside of me because that morning window, we weren't working alongside most of the time. He helped me build my little shoe wall inside my closet. He did a lot of the first step of organizing, which is pull everything out. Especially in the kitchen, when I was getting Sparrow off to school, I'd say, hey, see that cupboard? Pull it all out.
Nice. I never thought to use kids that way. They would love that.
He had it done before, by the time I had Sparrow on the bus, everything was out and we could just go to town,
Nice.
Ralph surprised me. He's always been my really funny, really energetic kid, but I didn't know how much order there was behind there. And they're really, for a 5-year-old, So yeah, they've very much appreciated it. Our cleaning time has gone way down.
By way down, what do you mean?
So
can you quantify it?
It's hard because I've condensed it to just Fridays now that it
fits. Nice. Friday,
and it's just a kind of a Friday morning. I call it our race the robot routine. We did invest in a little vacuum robot that has a mopping feature too. Ooh. It's not human level good, but it does okay. And so we clean the kitchen and then we turn on the robot and then we have to stay a room ahead of the robot as it cleans. And so it keeps us to, I want to say about, it usually keeps us under 2 hours.
Wow, that's great.
Which it's our house.
For is a family of six?
Yes. Our house is a big house. And then we also do the great laundry roundup on Friday. It's the last hurdle that my kids help me with before we get to have movie night. And it's great. We do most of the folding all in one. And we take all the stuff upstairs. And on Friday evening, there's a clean laundry table. And it's great. So yeah, a lot of our daily routines have gotten more regular, which before there weren't routines. There was just mayhem, survival, and throw a load of laundry in between. You know, I'm very thankful to have some sort of rhythm, some sort of, you know, consistency with the Sunday Basket. I end our day off with the Sunday Basket live feed. I just make that my, okay, break's over. Let's get back to work time. And it just really makes it, brings a good rhythm to things.
So you mentioned that you heavily use the app, you use the cadence of the co-working time with the Sunday Basket. Mm-hmm. You definitely did some areas of the 100 day as they were. You listen to the podcast when you're getting organized. But devil's advocate question for you.
Okay.
Could you have done it without Organize 365? Like if you just dedicated that much time and said, I'm going to do organizing, could you have done this without any of the programs or supports?
I think what would have happened, I may have gotten a few areas organized, but I wouldn't have done it comprehensively. I wouldn't have gotten all the way down to getting the dump pile removed and probably all of the Goodwill stuff. There's too much thinking involved in dividing the elephant. So even though I wasn't technically going by each and every 100 days, I did them all. I just did them out of order. And largely it was because we had a rainy day on a day that was supposed to be an outside space, or I didn't quite have enough time to do this space, but I could do this closet instead. And so I looked at it more as the 100 day program is more of a framework, and you can edit and alter and use the framework to fit your home, to fit your time. But a lot of that thinking of that piecing everything out already, that work you already did for me. So thank you.
Of course.
I don't know that I would have gotten it all done. And there's something about having like a goal, like a finish line, or just calling it 100 days. Like I'm going to do 100, you know, I think I actually finished it in under 100 little literal days, although I didn't work every day throughout there, but yeah, I really needed this to be done. We were in such a frustrated, chronic state. The second I got any time and bandwidth to do things, I just shot out of there like a rocket. And that's kind of my personality too. I tend to eat a lot of elephants and it's just the way I've always been.
So when you are like, so for future people who are just starting the Productive Home Solution, the 100 day program is a part of it. Then there are the binders. There's like all this other stuff that's inside of the Productive Home Solution. And in the fall of 2022, we're actually going to have the 100 day program is going to be broken into 4 different categories: your personal spaces, your family and communal spaces, your storage spaces, and your paper. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take the whole Productive Home Solution and divide them into like 4 courses, and you could take any of them, but you can always go to the bottom of the dashboard and the Legacy 100 program will be down there. as it has been for the last 6 years. So like, if you're like, okay, well, I want to do the productive home solution, but Lisa said she's reorganizing. Yes, I'm reorganizing it for people who are not like Lauren and me, who would like to maybe chunk it out a little bit and get like one little area done and then one little area done. We're always going to do it in the 100. You will always be able to find the original 100 days as 100 days. You just have to go to the bottom of the dashboard. So you're probably going to be hearing this podcast late summer. So don't get worried about you're not going to be able to do the 100 days like it used to be. It will still be there. You'll just also be able to do it in smaller chunks if you don't like to eat elephants like Lauren and I do. We happen to think they're fun.
Yeah, I do love eating elephants, but it is hard. I think one of the benefits of doing them all at once, I got to see the results of the 100 days and the Sunday basket kind of working together. Mm-hmm. And I had a post on the 365 website about margin, because you always talk about the Sunday basket giving you back time. But I think more than that, it's not just like a flat out 5 minutes, 1 hour, 5 hours, whatever it is, you're actually getting quality time because your spaces are getting cleared as well. Because I was doing the 100 days next to it, the way I've been thinking about it is kind of like a doorway where you have your time, your energy, and your physical space. And having those things work together, that's the door that productivity walks through. But you can kind of fudge things. Like if you don't quite have enough energy, maybe you can use a little more time and still make it work.
Yeah.
But yeah, the thing that's arriving for me is not just extra time. It's time where I can think clearly and, you know, I can actually not just survive, but do something more than that. Maybe make progress on something I've put off for a long time. And
get ready for the next elephant.
Yes. Although I will say, I'm actually, I don't know, maybe this is a shocker, I'm not going to do the 100 days this upcoming round. The spring summer,
me too.
The spring summer is kind of an anti golden window for me. When Sparrow comes home from school, I'm 100% responsible for her toileting, diaper, you know, feeding, and she needs kind of constant care. And so that's the new part-time, you know, that's the new job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also gardening. I garden and we work with the kids, and there's just more things that happen. 5 of 6 birthdays are in this.
Well, and that's cool that you said it, because in your trimesters, you have the winter one you just left where you did all this organizing. You're going to have the summer one with memories and your kids and you just enjoying being your family. When you get to fall, you will have lived with this level of organization all summer. And so there will be areas where you'll be like itching to be like, okay, all summer I've been thinking about this area. And if I just tweak this one thing, like maybe it'll do better. And so now you'll go into the tweaking mode, which is my favorite.
I'm actually already doing that. I avoided buying any kind of organizers or anything this first round because we just needed to
get garage sales,
visit to the Container Store. We're not really having a lot of garage sales here yet. Seattle doesn't do garage sales except for in summer because it rains.
True. Or like just, you know, you might need a cube unit here, or you'll probably deep dive into the kids' rooms over the summer and stuff like that.
Yeah. And so I'm kind of in loading the hopper, so to speak, for September already.
Yes.
And I'm going to go to town on the 100 days again in September. But for the spring and summer, I got to double down. I still got to get my Sunday basket to a point where I feel like I'm actually making progress. Right now, the ideas are going in and the bare minimum of what I need to get done is getting done and nothing more. So it's just the Sunday basket's getting a little fatter.
That's okay. That's what it's supposed to do until it explodes. And then you're like, fine, you're going on a diet.
Yes.
Then you are again. What advice would you give to someone who's just starting out, Lauren?
I definitely like the idea of getting the Sunday basket routine kind of set. I wish I could kind of have 2 months with the Sunday basket and then do the 100 days. But also, we really needed to get dug out. We were buried under our own stuff. So I don't think that's always the case, but I would recommend doing those separately. You know, the person who's drowning paddles the hardest. So that's what you can think of when you hear me. We really were drowning and I had to do this. But if you can just take one bite at a time, I would do the sunny basket for a little bit and then start to think about that home program. Your brain will start working on things and start planning without you really planning. You don't need as much stuff as you think you do.
Yeah. Lauren, this has been I've just enjoyed listening to your story the whole time. I haven't even asked very many questions. It's just been so great to hear your story and your energy and your honesty and, you know, just how this has really changed your family in such a short amount of time. So thank you so much for sharing that on our podcast.
Yes, you're welcome. And I wore my Keep Going shirt just for you. It's my favorite shirt. It's a gold shirt that just says Keep Going. So everybody out there that runs into snags and just keep going.
Yeah, it's so hard because, I mean, the app makes you feel like you're not alone, but when you are, it really is a solo activity to get organization established in your home, whether you had it in the past or you didn't. Either way, like the act of reestablishing that organization can feel really lonely and isolating. And we try to do everything possible to make it more feel like we're doing this together, even though you're by yourself in your house. Wow. So yes, keep going.
That mattered to me a lot. I think, like you said, so much of this kind of work is invisible. A lot of that in-home work is never seen, never appreciated until, you know, it's appreciated in sort of the background way, like, oh, this is here. And they're not, your family is not necessarily going to connect, but it's because you spent X number of minutes organizing this drawer, you know. But being seen on the app, being able to post your pictures really does matter. And it really helps, you know, being able to work alongside people. I had a friend over and I was like, look at my cupboard. And they're like, okay. They were just not in the same space. But on the app, everybody's like, yes, like that's great. You know, they get it.
How'd you do that? What bin did you use?
Yeah. So.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you. And thank you for, cutting up the elephant ahead of time so I can get it all.
Adding a little salt to it.
A little salt, a little pepper, a little. Anyway, so I appreciate your time. And I know I think we're off to better things now, or hopefully we are.
Yes. Thank you so much, Lauren.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.